It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here in the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, I'm we're not afraid, but gosh darn if they don't give you a bunch of reasons to be. But, you know, you're not as afeard if you just know what's coming. Let me tell you what's coming. This is just the beginning of this stuff. You know, I mean, you go to today on freedomsphoenix.com, got tons of stories. Hopefully, Jack Gregson, he's going to try and make it down here in studio. He's our economist columnist. And he is, you know, one of the things that he brought up early on that we started keeping track of was the Baltic Dry Index, and I don't even have it in front of me, but that what it is the shipping availability of cargo space, that how much stuff is being shipped in big cargo containers, you know, big cargo ships. And if you want to know how much trade there is, well, I don't know, how much stuff is in transit? How much stuff did somebody buy? How much is available? Because they had that index. It's been around since, you know, back in the day. I mean, sailing ships kind of thing, you know, long time ago, where they are having, you know, what is the available space from going port A to port B? Well, that's a good indicator of economic activity. So I'm going, all right, let's go ahead and keep track of that, because all of a sudden it is a cliff. You know, a year or two ago, it just fell off the face of the earth, and way before it really became known just how bad this depression was. And you can tell what the inventory levels are going to be in warehouses, certainly around the ports, because nothing's coming in. You know, they're not filling up the warehouses. You have the stuff goes out until it's empty. And you have nothing else coming in, you guess what? You have no trade, you know, import, export. So that was a good way of kind of just keeping track on things. We were going to talk about that a little bit. And the reason that I have Gregson coming in is because Jack knows, he keeps tracking a lot of this stuff because he has a personal interest in the economy, you know, because he's invests and he just wants to survive this. But one of the things that came out was secret gold swap has spooked the market. Now, I've made some calls to some people talking about this, and I'm trying to get a beat on this, on what the heck it means and what happened. You know, there's been an enormous transfer of 20% of the world's annual gold production and the possibility of a sell-off, which I say isn't going to mean anything. The International Monetary Fund put up 200 metric tons of gold, and it got bought by India. They said, thank you for making this available. And so there's a whole bunch of, there's something going on, and nobody really understands what it means. Is it, you know, they're having to cover people wanting to take possession of the gold, or they're using it as collateral for loans they're getting from central banks? Are they, you know, it really hasn't been well understood yet. We'll try and understand that here in a little bit, but there's some major movement on gold. And I'm talking to some other economist guys I know, scheduling them for the shows and for the next week, and they're saying, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand what's going to happen with silver, because silver is still seen as a commodity. Silver is still seen as a, you know, like an industrial metal. You know, it's contacts on your cell phone or something. And you'll see it as money. In fact, in many languages around the world, the word for money is the word for silver. They're the same word. Now, silver has yet to really come back and hit it hard, except in the freedom community. You go to a lot of these different functions or seminars or conferences or the vendors, and it's all converted into silver, too. Now, this has been going on for the last couple of years. Everybody's about silver. What kind of silver? You get your silver for your medallion for your group. 1 ounce silver, Freedom's Phoenix silver. We got silver medallions for Freedom's Phoenix. Heck, they were so popular, we traded almost 700 of them out. People wanted those. I kept the last 150 just so I could have some. I'm like, wait. I wanted some of these. So, this is a very popular way of trading. So we're going to be talking about that. But, there's ramifications of the economy going down, too. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can see in just how politics are, and law enforcement and crime and punishment and all kinds of stuff. I give you an example. These are some of the stuff that's going on. Just, two Georgia officers were fired after they just kept stun gunning a woman just because they could. She didn't respect their authority enough. She exercised her right not to talk to them. I'm not telling you anything. Oh, yeah? They tortured her with stun guns. It was on video. Oh, they're gone. Next. I mean, go into detail about that later. But the UN treaty, which bans guns on Freedom's Phoenix today, they got a video that goes on from, last year that they had this on how the United States joined 152 countries in support of arms restriction, from the United Nations. And there's a big push that established 2012 is, a day they're going to have the big conference and we're going to call for the taking of and treaties signed and this and that and Hillary Clinton and being Secretary of State and they're out and talking, they're taking guns away. And how many times have I talked to progressives? Oh, but you crazy militia types, you're just saying that, Obama's going to take your guns away. Well, he's not. And all this stuff is going on behind the scenes in support of when the Obama administration came in. Oh, man, they're jumping all over this. So I'm going, okay, so we got officers out there, stunning people that doesn't respect their authority enough, when they're perfectly within their rights, just I don't want to talk to you. We got the United Nations, advocating small arms. You had the guy from Japan got up in English, and he's saying, guns are weapons of mass destruction, blah, 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 blah. And that's actual, I can see where this is going. There's one other story here. We probably won't talk much about it, but, it doesn't matter. There's a woman that was, she was jailed for texting threats to herself. She was trying, she got the phone from her boyfriend or got the name of her boyfriend's sister-in-law or something. She was trying to blame them. So she's like texting herself, look, see, they're dead, they're going after me. So they arrest them, put them in jail, and finally, eventually, she gets nailed. But I bring these things up because it's in the environment here that they're wanting to disarm you. That, they're the only time you can get the police to come, put people in jail for texting threats or something, that didn't even exist. But, they're going after you, going to take away your guns for you to be able to defend yourself. When you're not, respecting their authority enough, they're, tasing the crap out of you and so on. While this is all going on in Oakland, California, don't call the cops. They're having layoffs, so what do they say? Now, fine, you want to lay us off? Fine, this is what's going to happen. Oakland's police chief is making some dire claims about what his force will and will not respond to if layoffs go as planned. Chief Anthony Batts listed exactly 44 situations that his officers will no longer respond to, and they include grand theft, burglary, car wrecks, identity theft, vandalism. He says, if you live in Oakland and one of the above happens to you, you need to let police know online. We'll send you a form. You get your insurance or something. Some 80 officers were to be let go at midnight last night if a last-minute deal was not reached. That's about 10% of the workforce. So here you have, and they got a long list, burglary, theft, embezzlement, grand theft, identity theft, grand theft dog, whatever the heck that means, false information of police officer, registering as a sex or arson offender, extortion, false personification of another, interfere with, blah, 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 vandalism. Don't call us. We got officers being laid off. We're not going to. So who's going to protect you? Who are you looking for to be, you know, be your protector, government? You know, how's that working out? And then, of course, in California, you know, what they're going to go out and arrest people texting themselves, though. You know, this is it's extortion. You know, it's a shakedown. It's threat. It's fraud. They're taking your money, but then they're not going to do what they, what's the whole purpose is defending individual rights. Does that sound like what's going on here? And this is going to be replicated around the country. Heck, it's already done here in Arizona. You get, we're number one car theft in the nation. Your car gets stolen, what happens? Yeah, go online. We'll give you a report on the phone. They never come out and get fingerprints or do anything, property, and they don't want to solve this stuff. You know, I'm, wow. How much evidence do you need? You're going to be taking care of yourself. Got chickens and a gun to guard them? Think about it. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, we got Jack Gregson in studio. Yep, you know, it's always, you know, every couple of weeks time to bring Jack in, man. You know, I'm not really sure, you know, why. How screwed are we, Jack? I mean, you know, it's one of those kind of things. You know, we just need him to tell us, I don't know, how bad is it?
It's bad. There is no recovery, and it's not a double dip because we never had a recovery.
Heck, they never let it dip. I mean, you know, it was going, 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 going. They should have just let it go so we could have $20,000 homes and then problem solved.
Right. Yeah. And last March 9th, 2009, they decided to pull out the stops and dump about $3 trillion into the market.
Let's go to some of the fundamentals, the basics of what's going on here. We have Nancy Pelosi saying things like, we have to continue unemployment insurance so that we can have money in the hands of people that will be able to then spend and stimulate the economy. Like, I mean, it never even occurs to her that that is, you know, people are sitting there thinking, well, what if you didn't take the money from me to begin with, or you didn't indebt my grandchildren more for doing, I mean, what kind of economic impact would it have by not stealing from people now and then their future and all this other stuff in order to do this little blip bubble thing that you got now? Do you really think that they're that foolish, or they just don't care, or they're just playing us for fools?
I don't know what to think of Nancy anymore. Having been a Democrat at one time in my life, I mean, that woman really confuses me. She's just a nonstop quote machine for Republican advertising. I mean, you can't get a better quote than the one that she came up with the other day, saying that basically unemployment payments are one of the fastest way to create jobs. I mean, that just puts that quote into the hands of Republicans, and they can use it.
No, it's like it's on purpose. They're all part of the same club. They go laugh and clap each other, slap each other on the back at the bar, you know, 2 hours later, you know. And, you know, so I'm wondering, there are going to be signs that's, it already has. I mean, you have a skyrocketing in precious metals prices. I mean, you go, ooh, it went down to 1190 something. You know, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I remember it wasn't too long ago, it was $300-$400, you know, so I'm going, don't even start with me. But the, what are some of the other signs that we got? I mean, where did you start seeing this Baltic Dry Index? When did that come around?
Well, I started paying attention to that about 4 or 5 years ago. And if you look at it, you can see that it was a really good indicator for the start of the recession back in December 2007.
Well, explain what it is. I tried to give a quick explanation, but it's just cargo ship space or something, right?
Yeah, it just basically indicates what sort of market there is for shipping goods by ocean, container ships. And if you look at that, you can see that it just fell, just, you know, like going from the top of a roller coaster down to the bottom. at the beginning of the recession back in December 2007.
And well, it did recover there for a while. I mean, a little bit, you know. But is it starting to go down again?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fallen, I think, for 33 consecutive days. It's fallen down to about, 1740, something in that neighborhood.
Well, 1740 don't mean nothing to the audience. What does that mean?
Well, let's put it this way. It's fallen dramatically from where it was a month ago. It's falling about 3 to 4% per day. And the thing is, that's not the only chart where you see that happening. There's something called the ECRI, which is a leading indicator, and it's one that I follow every week. And that has fallen dramatically.
ECA indicator, what's that?
ECRI. It's a measure of economic activity in the U.S. And it's fallen dramatically over the past 2-3 months.
Well, we have, here's one thing. We have one story up on Freedom's Phoenix. I had one of the staff put it up. And it was sagging global growth requires us to act. And it's more of the, what's that guy's name?
Noriel Rubini.
Yeah, Rubini. He's sitting there going to the Obama administration, we need more stimulus.
Well, that's the same thing that Paul Krugman is saying. And you don't see me posting.
Well, obviously, he knows what he's talking about. He's a Nobel Prize winner.
No, but I never post him because I don't think he's correct.
Yeah, but he's a Nobel Prize winner. Obama got the Peace Prize, too.
I'm not going to post anything that I think is a lie or I think that is ridiculous.
Well, heck, that's half the time why I post it, is because it's ridiculous. I'm like, seriously, these guys are going, well, obviously we need more stimulus. So, I mean, what is it that they're advocating?
Well, they're advocating the status quo, just trying to keep it going. And, you've talked for years, Ernie, about the fact that it's basically like a dragon and it's coughing up blood and let's kill it. Let's let it die.
No, I don't need to kill it. I just need to get out of the way out of the way of the tail, man. I'm just letting it go.
But we agree it's coughing up blood and it's dying. They want to keep infusing it with new blood. That's stimulus. That's what they're doing.
There has to be an end game to this. And one of the things that the reason I wanted you to come in today is this story about this secret gold swap thing. Do you have any understanding of what's going on there? Because it sounds like they don't even know.
Well, okay. There's been studies done that indicate for the past 23 years or so, they've been manipulating the gold market by going in overnight and basically shorting gold before it gets to America or when it, when it rolls around time for the
stock exchange to open.
Yeah,
for the commodities,
the COMEX to open up in New York, and they've been doing this for years. I mean, GATA, which is a group of individuals investigating the gold manipulation, they believe that it's been manipulated for over 20 years, and they have the statistics to prove it. So this move by the, the IMF, is just a way of basically telling everybody, we're going to do whatever we want to. The hell with the rule of law. There is no rule of law.
Well, how does law apply to this? I mean, you would think, they use different words. This is how they word it. It goes stuff like this. It says, concerns hinged on whether the Bank of International Settlements could potentially. See, here comes Bank of International Settlements. I would say 3-4 years ago, you never even heard that word.
Right.
Nobody even knew that there was a central bank for central banks. It was the bottom of the drain. They were like, all this funnel, guess where funnels do? Over here. Concerns hinged on whether the BIS, Bank International Settlements, could potentially sell on this vast cache of bullion in the event of a default, flooding the market with liquidity. Okay. The impression that I'm getting is that somebody needed money, wanted a loan, wanted something, and they go, "Yeah, sure, man, give us gold as a collateral." And I'm going, "Well, It seems like they're just, they might as well just sell the gold. It's at a peak now, because what happens when they start, you know, they add to the flood the market with liquidity. What they're saying is there's going to be a big giant dumping of gold on the market. It'll drive it down. Well, they say this stuff to get it to go down so they can buy a bunch of it, and then it goes back up, and they know how this thing's going to work. Well, they tried it before, months ago, when the International Monetary Fund came out with 200 tons of gold, said, yep, we're selling it in the market, we're going to, and India went, thanks, it's all ours now.
Right.
And the price went up.
Right.
So, I don't think they know what the heck they're doing.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
Well, they know what they're doing. I think they think it's going to have a certain effect and be able to turn the dials forever to get whatever it is that they want, and it's not working out the way they thought. You know, or it is. I don't know. We're going to find out more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Freedom's Phoenix economic columnist Jack Gregson. He's going to try to explain it to me, and maybe you too. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jack Gregson, economic columnist for freedomsphoenix.com. I'm trying to make sense of some of this stuff. I mean, you know that in the end, you're always going to revert back to the actual value of anything that you have. I mean, how much is your land worth? How much is your house worth? I'll tell you what it's worth. It's worth what somebody will pay for it. That's what it's worth. And they'll pay for it what they can. Well, you know, what if they can't? Well, then you're not going to sell it, right? That's just the way it is. So then you have certain things that when paper money ceases to have value, or real estate and home ceases to have value, well, people, you know, start to put their things into things that do have value, or they start to see what is of value, and then it's going to be food. You know, guns retain their value. You have precious metals. You have things that, you know, like, you know, work. I don't know what. Bicycles? I mean, you know, think about it. You know, I don't know. What's the value to you? Chicken! That's right. Chickens! So I'm seeing where this is going. And here we have this big gold transfer going around, massaging its way around the world. And they're saying the IMF will pay interest on the foreign exchange received. I mean, somebody's going to, you know, is it a loan? Is it, you know, the work as, is it a sale? Is it swapping? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, here's a chunk of gold that's going around somewhere, and it's being used as collateral. Is it being sold? Is it being leased? Which is just turning gold into paper. You know, it's it's like future corn. You know, we're giving a June price on corn next June when you harvest it, after you plant it, you know, or whatever. So when you do this kind of stuff, or July or whenever they harvest it, but when you do that kind of stuff, it's based on the promise that you're going to – well, how much have they promised that they're going to get out of the dirt, out of the mine? How much does it produce? How much have they said was there? You know, they got somebody ask, say it, and say, oh, this mine's worth a gazillion than we could have, and you can promise and pinky swear you're going to mine how much. I mean, you know, sound familiar with an appraiser coming out on your house? You know, telling you it's worth twice what you could sell it for? You know, what were the appraisal prices of homes 2 years ago as compared to what they're selling for now? Did they anticipate that? Or did they just look around what was selling at the time? Did it, you know, them doing that, is that what drove it up? Did it help? I mean, you know, there's so many variables in here, and they use so many big words and kind of, you know, the counter. I don't really understand what they're saying. Historically, swaps occur when entities like the IMF, International Monetary Fund, have a need for foreign exchange. Okay, the first thing I go, okay, why they have a need for foreign exchange? What is foreign exchange? But do not wish to sell the gold. In this case, gold is a leveraging device for needed currency to meet requirements. The heck does that mean? It means they're taking gold and they're leveraging it. They're creating more money than the gold that they have. They're, you know, it's like it's like when you do options, you only have to put up 10% to be able to, okay, well, I'm putting up the gold as collateral, but I'm only giving you 10% collateral for the 100% of the loan I'm going to get. And then when you default, what happens? You get 10% back in gold? Well, he's better than nothing, but, I mean, and it's a good deal for the guys giving the money out. Oh, it's starting to make sense. What if I'm the Federal Reserve? What if I'm the Bank of International Settlements? What if I'm the bottom of the drain? What if I'm willing to take on as collateral all of the gold that you have as 10%, 20%? Heck, even 50, heck, you know, 90%. I mean, you know, as a percentage of what money I'm going to loan you. And let me see, where do I get that money? Where's my printing press? Oh, here it is. I'm going to give you worthless paper, you know, at 10 times or whatever its value on the market. And you can put a commodity. If you don't pay it back, guess what? You gave up ownership of the collateral. But now I got real gold in exchange for paper I just printed up or promised you. Or is credit default swap kind of, you know, derivative day law paper more electronic transfer or something? But what did you get in exchange for this big chunk of, you know, numbers after the zero? You know, I mean, you know, whatever it was they entered in on your electronically in your bank account, you know, you want me to do that? Fine. Then you give me gold, and I would be more than happy to push that button on a keyboard for you. Oh, I got it. Is it here? Got the palette? It's boom. I pushed a button. There it is. You know? That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, let me read this a little bit more. I bet you that's exactly what they're doing. Let's see. However, the day after original reports about the swaps, BIS emailed a statement saying that the swaps had not been conducted with monetary authorities, but purely with commercial banks. This did nothing to quell the sense of mystery surrounding the deal or deals. It is almost inconceivable that a single commercial bank could have accumulated so much gold alone. And cynics have suggested that the whole affair still looks like a secretive European bailout that a single country wants to keep quiet. In this case, one or more of the so-called bullion banks, which act as a wholesale market makers and include Goldman Sachs, of course. It's already starting to smell. Deutsche Bank, J.P. Morgan, blah, 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 all the big banks would have agreed to act on behalf of a monetary authority. This would add an extra layer of anonymity. So the BIS swaps look like a tripartite transaction, writes Adrian Douglas of the Gold Antitrust Association. The commercial banks or bank or banks made a swap with a central bank or banks, and then the commercial bank or banks made a swap with the BIS. Price of gold is tending weaker at the present. Okay, so let me see if I can walk through this. I'm a central bank dealer. I'm going to have business, okay? I'm Bank America. I'm the Federal Reserve in America. I'm, you know, whatever the heck I am. I need money. I can't print it fast enough. My little country, De La Spain, Portugal, the pigs, okay? What was it? Portugal, Italy,
Ireland,
Greece, and Spain, all right? Call them the pigs. My printing press doesn't go that fast, okay? I can be hyperinflation immediately. I kind of got to, you know, it's just not going to work. So what they do, they say, how much gold you got? How much? Come on, fork it over. How much you got? Well, I got this much. Maybe all of them together. Okay? They go, no problem. Send the pallets on over, and we will give you the money that you need for all of the gold that you have. We want, you know what we want? Let me tell you what we really want. We want the gold. So you give us all the gold, and we got paper. We'll wipe off your debts, not a problem. And then you're going to have to pay them back, or what happens? You forfeit the gold. So they flood, hyperinflate currencies, the euro and whatever, and what do they get in exchange? They get all the gold. Hyperinflation goes, what happens to the price of gold? To the moon, Alice, to the moon. So I'm sitting, I mean, just, I see this right, you know, something's happening. You know, and I'm, you know, now somebody's got to prove me wrong. As I'm thinking this through, I'm going, I just walk, what the heck are they doing? I don't see how they're, so, I mean, how does that sound, Jack? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, what they really want, you know, the big bad guys, they want the gold. Well, what are the other guys got that want the gold? They want to be able to pay off their debts. They sell the gold now, it's going to crash the price. They don't, which they tried before, but it didn't crash the price. But even if it didn't, even if they got twice the price of gold now, they're still not going to be able to pay back their debt. They need something like 10 times, 100 times, whatever. They're estimating precious metals are leveraged to 100 to 1 anyway.
Right.
So they go in and they say, all right, here it is, but somebody has to have the authority to give them some kind of a credit swap, a something kind of financial instrument that they can use on the market that will pay off their debt and bail them out as a country or as banks or too big to fails, de la whoever in Europe. Get the gold. Here you get your, you know, bunch of numbers after the decimal point. They pay that off. They default on this. They get to keep the gold hyperinflation. Everybody's happy except the people.
Right. They get their special drawing rights.
Yeah, special drawing rights. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, define that, special drawing rights. What the heck does that mean anyway?
Well, it's basically a way of replacing the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, because Bretton Woods broke down in, I think, 1971, and they've kind of been basically using spit and baling wire to keep the thing together ever since.
Well, explain Bretton Woods. Bretton Woods was gold standard.
Yeah, that was the gold standard, and then we went off the gold standard back when Nixon was the president, and the French wanted to take their gold because they felt that they were getting the short end of the stick, and Nixon said no. We're not going to give you the gold. So they kept the gold, and they took us off the gold standard.
Because France had a whole bunch of dollars.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be good as gold. Well, it was, I don't know, was that, what, $35 an ounce then, or 80, or whatever the heck it was.
It was about $35 an ounce.
So they, and it's locked there. Well, they just kept printing more dollars and money, so it lost its value. Gold was going up in real terms on the international market, and they said, gimme. And they said, Nixon said, nuh-uh, and then it was all over. It's how long can they keep it, you know, scotch tape and glued? Well, it's falling apart. We'll talk about it more when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
What? You know, I'm not about, you know, destruction. I mean, I like John Lennon, man. He did a good job. You know, it's like, you know, but when you talk about destruction, you know, you can count me out. Because our enemy is us. You know, just we allowed this to, I mean, we're decent. How we allow this to happen is because we're genuinely, I like that word, I'll use that, you know, decent people, we're trusting, you know, we're like, hey, you know, it's all good, you know, you do what you want, don't bother me, and a lot of times it bothers us more than we know, and we just don't know it, and we have so many ways that we're getting screwed that I just want to make sure that we understand, because a lot of times you can just bail out of the system, get your money out of the bucket that they got it put in, and then you can just take care of yourself and do the best you can with whatever, I don't know, buy some land, get some precious metal, get chickens or something. But, you know, they make it difficult for you to get your money out, because they put you in these buckets of money called pension funds, IRAs, 401ks, whatever it is, they can do it. And they'll promise all kinds of matching from the corporation, so they get tax deferments on it. You have people that are doing all kinds of mechanisms by which they can put money into a bucket to promise the retirement of government employees, or whatever, and it creates enormous amounts of money and it's sitting there, low fruit for the picking. So they go in, they said, everybody all in? Good. Chips all on table? It's ours now. Oh, and you got some more? It's ours now. So that's one thing this morning I was thinking about. I'm going, you know, sooner or later, you know, the precious metals are really going to start to skyrocket. I don't think it's bad enough yet. It may be a year or two. Why? Because they need a sustained depression to suck all of the precious metals and valuables out of the people. There's no, it's not good. They don't want you to make a bunch of money. They want you to have to liquidate. They want you to go ahead and get more and more and more paper to pay off your bills and so on, so that you have to turn in all your precious metals and so on to survive and eat and whatever, so that, and it may be a couple of years, maybe 3, 4 years, 5 years, however long it takes, to where they think that they got all the goodies, and then they start all over again. That's what's always been happening. And I think right now there is a mechanism by which they can get all the big chunks of gold that are out there still left. Because there are people that have gold in reserve. You know, banks have it, big insurance companies, some pension funds, these different financial instruments that they got that are trading in gold stocks and silver and so on. And when people start saying, hey, man, I want my physical gold, not this paper that says, you know, I got it. You know, they're fine, you know, give it to them. Then eventually they're going to have to sell, too. It goes up. Sooner or later, people will sell to get inflated reserve notes or some equivalent so that they can pay their bills. This is all about the use gold to retain their wealth based on what the wealth is valued at that time. So what happens when you put that in? There's somebody there. They're not worrying about their next meal. Somebody is accumulating this gold. And here we have the Bank of International Settlements that nobody even knew existed. I sure as heck never even heard of it a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden I'm going, oh, they're the central bank. They're the bottom of the drain. They're the funnel where all the goodies go to. So they're going, you know, we'll take all of the gold that you have and give you, I don't know what, twice, 10, 20 times as much in currencies or these credit, what do they call those things, IMF, they want to do?
Special drawing rights?
Special drawing rights. They just keep making stuff up.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to talk to them. Somebody's going to have to say that's not what's going on for me to be convinced. I'm going, you know, I can see. I mean, I'm just a layman. I mean, I'm just looking at it. I know what they want. They want the gold. And I know what the other people want. They want the cash. They want to get bailed out. They want whatever. And, you know, it seems like a, you know, good relationship. Here, you can have all our gold. Give us 20 times whatever it's worth, and then we'll default on it, and you'll get to keep the gold. And, oh, by the way, you just printed it up. It didn't cost you anything. It's just you just made it up. You know, they do this all the time. I mean, like here in the U.S. Treasuries and our national debt, they're still spending. How are they doing it, Jack?
Well, last year the Federal Reserve bought 82% of our debt because on the market they couldn't sell it quickly enough. We had a deficit of $1.6 trillion. And this year we're very close to that. We just went over $1 trillion for the first 9 months of the fiscal year. Now, at the end of April, the Fed basically had to end quantitative easing, and they had to figure out another way.
Okay, stop. Quantitative, you know, I had to look that up. You know what quantitative easing is? I looked in Wikipedia. I go, quantitative easing, what the heck does that mean? You know what it means? Printing money.
That's right.
They just call it stuff. I mean, don't even start with me, man. Don't okay. Sound like them. They print more money, okay?
They print more money. All right. Now, at the end of April, they had to basically hide what they were doing again. Now, they're doing all sorts of things that are not supposed to happen. They are not supposed to purchase unsecured debt, but they've been doing that for the past 2.5 years or more.
Okay, who's not supposed to be purchasing unsecured debt?
The Federal Reserve. Now, okay, last year they purchased 82% of the debt because on the open market they couldn't find enough buyers. So what did they do?
Okay, wait. Stop. Let's go step by step here. One, You have the Federal Reserve is the guys that just, you know, I guess print the money, you know.
Right.
It used to be that they, the only thing that they did was set the interest rate to kind of determine what the money supply was going to be. You know,
right.
How they lend it in, you know, this starts getting complicated. I'm wondering who actually is printing the money. They're putting it into accounts somewhere. They're loaning it to they're the central bank that's loaning it to these banks, and they loan it into existence because they can, I guess, you know. And so you're saying that they loaned into existence this money. How? I mean, they just, because the Treasury says we're going to spend this much money.
Right.
So they're in order to spend that, they got to get it somehow in taxes or debt. Well, the debt is a treasury, right?
Right.
So they go, we're going to auction off these treasuries. People are going to loan us money. China's got money they need to give us. Well, then when nobody buys it, you know, then somebody buys it. I mean, somebody does somewhere, it goes back. They don't let it go back. So who's buying it?
Almost nobody.
So then what do they do with it? They got a treasury sitting there. Nobody's buying it. They're going to let that happen.
No, they basically are monetizing it, which means they're printing it. And, you know, they're holding it on their balance sheet, from what I understand. I mean, I'm not a genius in this area, but from what I understand, they're holding it on their balance sheet. Last year, they had to purchase 82% of it.
So the Federal Reserve is purchasing the debt of the United States.
Correct.
They're enslaving the future generation to the Federal Reserve.
Correct.
And all they're supposed to do is be able to just set an interest rate.
Right.
So now they're going, this is what Bernanke's talking about, additional powers and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole idea of the, you know, reform that they were supposed to have for Wall Street is nothing more than basically three-card Monty or a shell game where you're giving more power to the Federal Reserve. That's all it is. It's a naked power grab. But after April, they had to figure out a way to cover up how bad the fiscal situation was for the U.S. government. And they figured out a way. They said, okay, we want the too-big-to-fail banks to buy treasuries. All right? And somebody,
well, how are they going to buy it when they were broke?
The federal government gave them all that money, about $3 trillion, through the bailout back in October 2008.
Whoa. We have taxpayers giving the banks that were going down a bunch of money so then they could buy the debt that they keep spending in the federal government.
Right.
How long can you do stuff like that?
Not forever.
That's my vote. Not forever, okay? Not forever.
But people don't, Ernie, people are not paying attention. I mean, I'm out there looking for this stuff, and I post it to Freedom's Phoenix every day trying to let people know what's happening. But the thing is, if you don't read Freedom's Phoenix, you know, really you're not going to understand what they're doing.
You know, we get a lot of stuff, and I read your stuff, and a lot of times I don't have time to read all the stuff that Freedom's Phoenix. We got, it's like 50, 60 new articles a day. I mean, we're going to an afternoon edition again. I mean, there's so much stuff happening. And we take it from a lot of different places. And a lot of times it's not even all the same opinion. You know, one thing will happen and you have three different opinions up there. Like, hey man, read them all. Truth is in there somewhere. Or not. I mean, you know, at least trying to see what they're trying to BS you with. This is amazing that we are taking our grandchildren and enslaving them with a debt that we giving to the banks that caused the problems to begin with, and it should have just went out of existence, but we're using them to give tax money, future debt, for them to buy more debt. You know, just so they can buy the treasury, so they can spend more money, so that you have more money to spend, so they owe more money, so you can get the next future to have more money. It's all coming down and they know it. Is it on purpose? It's to suck all the goody out of us. And then when we start over, what are we going to do? Because there is going to be a start over. You think about it.